Welcome to Dev Jams. This is where we talk with developers who are doing interesting, inspiring, innovative things when it comes to images and videos inside of their projects, and many of the times using Cloudinary for that image and video delivery and overall management. My name is Sam Brace, and I'm the Senior Director of Customer Education and Community at Cloudinary. And in this episode, we're going to be talking with Seb, who works for Intuiphase. And Intuiphase is doing amazing things when it comes to being able to have lots of ways to have displays and bring those into places like museums and galleries and just places that you're walking through to be able to show off lots of different functionality that is going to help you to better understand the various spaces that you happen to be in. And interestingly enough, they happen to be utilizing Cloudinary in some of those projects. So we're going to be walking that today with Seb. Joining me for this episode and also many other episodes of this overall Dev Jams program is Jen Brisman. She is a technical curriculum engineer here at Cloudinary, and we're always so happy to have her expertise and intelligence inside of these efforts. So, Jen, welcome to the program.
Hey, Sam. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. So tell me, why are you particularly excited to talk with Seb and also the overall efforts around Intuiphase today?
Well, I'm excited to talk to Seb personally because he's been working with Cloudinary for, I believe, 8 years, maybe more at this point. And I think that's incredible to have that sort of tenure and to be able to go back and see how it all started back in the day. But I'm also excited because what they're doing at Intuiphase is so cool, just connecting audiences to physical spaces. And I think we need a lot more of that in these times. And I'm really excited to hear more about what he built for these conferences and what they built in Dubai. So really excited to have him on.
Absolutely. And I think that's the kind of a neat thing is that Intuiphase seems to be doing a lot. And it's one of those areas where when you see things that you know that you worked on, it's always exciting. And I think Intuiphase seems to be in a lot of places from what I gather. So I think that'll be something, as you're pointing out, being able to bring it into spaces, the audiences, and all those different things. It'll be interesting to see what we uncover here with Seb today. Before we do bring our guest on, I do want to make sure that it's clear that there have been many episodes that we have done with our overall Dev Jams efforts. And you can easily find those at cloudinary.com/podcasts. As you can see on the screen here, we have it where we have plenty of content that we have been doing where we're walking with other developers that have done projects with Cloudinary or frankly just showing off images and videos that they're working with in really cool ways and being able to help you understand how you can do many of these same steps in your next project. So make sure you check that out at cloudinary.com/podcasts. And similarly, Seb and other community members are inside of our Cloudinary community. So make sure that you are actively going inside of here to continue some of the conversations that we start in this episode. And that's going to be at community.cloudinary.com. Now, one thing that we're going to point out in this overall episode as well is that the way that we found Seb and the great work that we're doing is inside of this blog post. And you can easily find this at community.intuiphase.com. And they have lots of details about this event that they did in Dubai, the COP28 event for their client, Microsoft, kind of a cool client. And there's lots of different things that they were able to do for this. But inside of here, we started to see that Cloudinary is being actively used inside of this overall post. And this is something that we were very excited to learn more about. So kind of a nice segue to be able to bring on what we're going to have as an amazing guest with Seb. So Seb, welcome to the program.
Hello. Hi, Sam. Hi, Jen. Thanks for having me today. It's a pleasure for after 8 years of working with Cloudinary, finally meet someone at Cloudinary.
I completely agree. So, Seb, tell us a little bit about yourself. So, obviously, we've told people your name, Seb. We told you people that you work at Intuiphase, but there's a lot more detail there. So, who are you?
Sure. So, I'm Seb Meunier, Sebastian Meunier. I've been working with Intuiphase, formerly known as IntuiLab, for 17 years. This is actually my first job. After the first company I've worked for after getting my engineering degree. I'm a computer software engineer, specialized in vision, image, multimedia. So back in the days. And within Intuiphase, we'll talk more about the company and the platform, I'm sure. But basically, I went from being a developer in the product team to helping customers managing projects and now being the customer success manager, mainly for North and South America. Do not trust the accent. I am based in the US.
Well, this is great. And so give me a little bit of context here, because I feel like me and Jenna have mentioned a few different things about what Intuiface is and what Intuiface does, but obviously we don't work there and you probably know it way better than us, especially since you've been there for quite a while. So what is Intuiface?
Sure. So first of all, I apologize. This is a dev jam for devs, and Intuiface is a no-code platform. So it is a no-code platform for creative, interactive digital signage, mainly. So basically any kind of signage where you want the users to interact with it, whether it's a touchscreen, it's a sensor, it's an RFID, it's scanning a QR code and controlling something with your mobile phone. So any physical places where you want to engage with the visitors. That being said, this platform, you can create any kind of apps for small tablets to large touchscreens to tables to video walls. We don't really care about the form factor. We work on several different operating systems. And you can find us in a lot of places. And by us, I mean the projects being built by our customers. It can be museums, it can be point of sales, retail, real estate, hospitality, anywhere where you want a screen to not be just a screen playing a video, but be more than that. That's the gist of it.
So how did you get into this line of work? You said this is your first job, but were you always interested in interacting physically with a machine or a screen, or was this something that you learned about for the first time with Intuiface?
This is because of Tom Cruise. Minority Report. 1997, 1998, I think. And I don't know if all of you who remember that movie, but Tom Cruise was basically controlling images with his fingers, having some kind of funky gloves on it, with gestures, 3D gestures. And this was my project in 2005, working with $15 webcams, sport gloves with LEDs, 20 cents each, and doing that before iPhone 1. Before the Wii, before Kinect. So 2005, 2006, that was kind of the projects I was working on. And I've always wanted to become like a video game developer or something like that. The industry brought me to meet someone from Intulab in a user experience, user interaction course. I did my internship at Intulab before it became Intuiface, and I was hired, and that was the beginning of the journey.
Awesome. Yeah, I guess the rest is history. I remember the Nintendo Wii and just thinking like, wow, we're officially in the future. You know, we can interact with the screen with our gestures and holding the remote. And now we've just come so far. And I'm sure there's so much to come in the future in this space as well.
Yeah, the Apple Vision Pro just was released and now we get ads everywhere about this. So spatial design, I guess, is the next thing. We were just trying to do that 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so like the reason we have you here is because you built something really cool with Intuiface, and we kind of want to get into that, talk about that a little bit. So could we kind of talk about at a high level what you built and then do a bit of a demo?
Sure. And I guess this all comes from the use case and why we even search for a tool or a platform like Cloudinary. Again, our platform enables people to create interactive applications for public places. One of the use cases from one of our customers 8 years ago was we want to create a cool photo booth where people can take a photo with a webcam and then upload it to their social media, Facebook, Twitter, for example. And so there were a couple of issues. The first being, this is a public-facing device. I'm not going to ask somebody to enter his login and password of Facebook on the kiosk itself. That's not going to happen. So we needed to find a way to, from the kiosk, use the webcam, take the snapshot, and that we do already, upload that image somewhere so that the user could retrieve that image on his personal phone, personal device, where he's logged in, he has his credential, that's private domain, and then he can do the post on his phone. So, okay, where can we upload an image to? Google found Cloudinary 8 years ago, and we probably found a couple of options. It's rough. It's tough to remember what happened 8 years ago. But I would say, because I'm the one who wrote the integration, I do remember it being super easy, super straightforward, and the documentation being just one of the best. And the other thing I can say is what I wrote 8 years ago still works today and is being used today. So
that's pretty cool. Great. Yeah, that's really, really cool. And so like, and that's what's neat is like, because you had this project, and of course, now that you've developed this integration where it's now easy for people to take images that have been uploaded from Cloudinary and get this into a two-face, as you said, no code. So it's easy for them to be able to do drag and drop and move them around and place them in different places of the display. They now have their images stored in a single space, but then they can easily manage those and deliver those as needed inside of their two-face projects. So that's...
Yes. Yeah. So 8 years ago, basically what we were doing was to upload that image from the interface experience, the snapshot being taken by the webcam, and from Cloudinary getting back a public URL. 8 years ago, we were sending that to a Facebook kind of thing to make the post. Another use case we've had is we've been also working a lot with Airtable as a kind of third-party CMS. And a funny thing about Airtable, and that was true 8 years ago, and it is still true today, in their API, you cannot upload a photo. You have to give a public URL to Airtable so that a photo can be added in the Airtable base. So again, we upload to Cloudinary, get the URL, give it to Airtable to store these images. And that's a use case we've seen more recently, earlier in 2023, with the appearance of ChatGPT and DALL-E, and we'll talk about generative AI a little bit more today, I believe. A customer for a show event wanted to have the visitors generate a lot of fun images through DALL-E and ChatGPT, and then display an art gallery of all these images. So we need to store the images and to transfer them from one device to another. Cloudinary, Airtable, same chain, same process, and zero code developed because we already had this plugin wrote back in the days.
Incredible. Incredible. So I think we've talked about this plugin a little bit, and obviously 8 years ago is, you know, 8 years ago, but let's take a look at it. Let's see like exactly how you're able to get these two systems to be able to connect with each other.
Sure.
So on my screen, I should be showing you a help center document that has been developed for Intuiface, basically breaking down the steps that someone needs to do to be able to upload images to Cloudinary from the Intuiface platform. So yeah, let's dive into this.
Yeah, so the first thing is on the Intuiface website, we obviously have a support section with more than 500 articles. If you search for Cloudinary, you will find this one single article. If you go through that, it will also have the link to GitHub, and I will jump to that in a minute. All our plugin source code is public. So anytime we develop a plugin, what we call an interface asset, we try to make the code public because anybody could build such a plugin. We did it for Cloudinary because we had the need to, but there are a lot of our interface users that build their own plugins. So now I'm talking to the devs here today. We are a no-code platform, but you can code. And you can create all these plugins, whether it's in .NET for Player for Windows or in TypeScript for the Player for the other platforms that we have. So scrolling down in the page, we also have a link to this Facebook example I was talking about, and that's the one I will show in Interface Composer, our editing tool.
Okay.
I guess, Sam, you wanted me to have a look at the code a little bit?
Yeah, let's dive into it, just so that people can understand it. Like, one thing I think you'll point out is that the code is actually very clean, simple, understandable. So it's not like you have to dive into too many, like, oh, it's going to be hard. No, there's a lot of simplicity here, but this is a wonderful how you guys did this.
Yeah, it is, or at least we tried to keep it as simple as possible. And the first thing I would say again is if you want to use Cloudinary within Intuiface, you don't need to go in that page. This is for those who want to get the code, have a look at it, maybe modify it if they want to, add more features maybe from Cloudinary. But that's, again, this is more for reference than for usage. So that code here is basically explains how it works. We use the Cloudinary SDK in .NET. And basically all you need to use Cloudinary in Intuiface are these three pieces of information: your cloud name, your API key, and your API secret from, sorry for the old screenshot, that's what we have in GitHub.
8 years ago.
It's vintage.
That was 8 years ago. So you need these three values. And then in Composer, our authoring tool, you enter these three values and you're good to go. So you can just get the build from this GitHub repository. You don't have to rebuild it again today to be able to use it. So let me jump into the code so I can show you a little bit how it works. And you will really see it is simple. First thing is we are in C#, .NET, in Visual Studio. And to be able to build this integration, we relied on Cloudinary.NET library. That's what made it easy 8 years ago to build this integration. We do have a couple of properties, and I will explain what it means in interface lingo, what these properties are and how they are used in the platform. But you will find the cloud name, the API key, and the API secret I just mentioned. We have a constructor here, which doesn't do much besides trying to update these credentials. And we need the three of them to be able to do something. When we have the three of them, then we create this Cloudinary object. That's what comes from the .NET library from Cloudinary. So far, one useful line of code. The second thing we have is one action, one method, upload image, which uses a file path as a parameter. Again, we check if the credentials are okay. If they are not, please verify your credentials. If they are, we check what the path looks like. We do have a little thing that's really an interface stuff to remove this weird path format. And then we create these upload parameters. If I remember well, this is also an object coming from your library. There's one parameter, the file, which is the file path. And we start an asynchronous task to make sure that we do not block the UI thread, the graphic thread. In this asynchronous method, the only thing we do is call the upload action from the Cloudinary object. So that's the second useful line in this code. We create the object from Cloudinary's library. We call the upload action. That's it. The result is what we care about. That is what will contain the URL as the result of that upload. And that's the one we will use to send to Facebook, to send to Airtable. So that's really this URL from the result that matters to us. That's it. That's all the code we have.
And this is clean because it, like, what you're ultimately doing is you're bringing through original images with no transformations, no optimizations from Cloudinary. But that's fine for what it is, because this is where you're doing this for, you're not putting this stuff on the web. You're putting this onto a high interactive signage. So you're trying to make sure that it is at its highest resolution. It is in its original state. So it makes sense why when you're doing this, you're just basically trying to get what's the biggest file version that you have in Cloudinary, suck it in so that way you can work with it into a phase, from what I can see.
That's correct. And that's where we did publish the source code in case somebody else wanted to use more than just 1% of what Cloudinary offers in terms of features, like resizing, image processing, cropping, round edges. I don't even remember all the features you have. And it's almost shameful to say that, no, we only just use you as a cloud storage.
That's what we did. Yeah, exactly. It makes tons of sense of why based on how your customers would end up using it. So this is good. This is really, really good.
So to explain how this is used, what I would like to do now is to show how this upload image action and these three properties, how do we actually use them in interface without writing any code? So I'm going to switch to Interface Composer. And by the way, this post to Facebook, that's the sample you can download from our website. Okay. So that's exactly the same. Maybe just made a few texts a bit bigger for today. That's it. And so among the interface assets here, if you search for Cloudinary, you will find this Cloudinary Image Uploader. That's the plugin. That's the build of this GitHub repository as a library, what we call interface assets. Once you add it to your interface project, you will find three properties on the side: cloud name, API key, API secret. These are cropped, so you cannot use them. So that's the properties you need to fill in to be able to use this uploader. The next thing is we will have some buttons at some point in this demo, and the button can call an action. So all the dynamic aspect of an interface project, what we call an interface experience, is based on properties, triggers, and actions. You don't write code, but you can program things to happen. So when I press and release this upload button, I have my button is released trigger. And on the action side, I have my Cloudinary interface set, and I have this one single upload image action, which we defined in the C# code. It has one single parameter, the file path, the image URI. So that's what is seen by the interface users without having to know what happens in the C# code behind the scene.
Incredible.
I might just play that demo just to see it live, how it works.
Yeah.
So I'm running on Player for Windows. I'm going to hit play here. I did not put the webcam on because I'm already using the webcam, so that would be conflict. So just a basic image here. I'm using my touchscreen. I will just show my amazing drawing skills here. All right, little smiley, taking a screenshot. So let's say this is the file on my local drive, which I want to upload to Cloudinary to post on my Facebook account. You can see here the local file path. That's what I retrieve from interface. Mm-hmm. When I call this, I click this upload button. That's the path I'm giving to Cloudinary. Cloudinary replies pretty quickly with this part here, res.cloudinary.com, Semenier, that's my account. That's my image. And what we did in that sample, we added that to a specific Facebook URL. So now if I grab my phone as a user in front of a kiosk, remember, this is public facing.
Right.
I can scan this code. And on my phone, trying to show that here.
There it is.
My Facebook account. And I'm ready to publish this image on my private Facebook account. I didn't have to give any credentials to the kiosk. I just retrieved the image on the phone, thanks to Cloudinary being the proxy to host that image for us.
This is cool. Wow. And I can see why someone from like a signage standpoint would really want this, because, I mean, let's say that you go to see some beautiful landmark and you're trying to get a picture of your family all together. And you're like, great, how do I do that? And be able to share that quickly to social media. This is something that is probably a common thing that people want to be able to do is share your images on social media. And then because you've been able to link Intuiface and Cloudinary together, you're able to now point this to different places. That's really, really good. And it definitely answers something that I think a common signage user would want to do. So this is awesome.
Yeah. So this was really the use case 8 years ago. And again, nowadays, this module is available and can be used in any ways when you need to upload an image you have locally on that public facing device, kiosk, table, wall, mm-hmm. and do something with it online.
Do you have any moderation concerns? Or, I mean, I suppose it's in public, nobody's doing anything inappropriate, but just say someone were to like hold up some sort of symbol that you deemed inappropriate. Has that ever been something that you've thought of or have had to combat?
Yes. Yes, it is. And actually, if we talk about the second use case, which is more uploading an image to a kind of a collection, which was then displayed on the public facing gallery, then there is this moderation proxy or moderation step in between that can be done on depending on where we store that image. So in another example, we have, once we have uploaded the image to Cloudinary, then we upload it to Airtable, to a base, in which we can have something as simple as this. We add a second column. Is this validated? Yes or no? And then when we upload the image to Airtable, we send an email to the moderators. They know if they have something new here, and they can just check it in Airtable. And so when we display that list of images, we only display the ones which have been validated. So that's okay. A pretty common case. And that's actually one which is being used this week in the new project we are working on with the lobby of a residents.
Yeah, I can imagine that if it's in the lobby, you would want to make sure that, you know, all the images are appropriate. And now, I mean, even Cloudinary offers AI capabilities to moderate images and videos, any assets that come in. And so I wondered how you were doing that. So you're doing it through Airtable. And so what you send it off to, what is this, Airtable's moderation, or how long does that all take?
No, that would be more on the end customer moderation, so human moderation for now. Again, that's not how we do it, generally speaking. That's one example of how it can be done.
How you could do it. Cool.
Yes. In the end, what is also important to see is that if there is a REST API to integrate with a system, you don't even need to write the code I was showing for Cloud Enery. We do have a tool, which is called the API Explorer, which can enable to integrate these web services without having to write any code. We've been talking about AI a little bit. I do have an example of a scenario that I could show you if we have like 5 minutes, five, 10 minutes.
We have plenty of time. You show everything. Absolutely.
All right. So we're going to go into a blank project. So, you know, I really start this from scratch.
Okay.
The one of the scenarios that we've had recently was we want to use AI to generate some cool images and to display them in a public gallery. So to do that, we need a couple of components. The first one will be we need a prompt to send to the AI. We need something like DALL-E to generate an image. We need to upload the image somewhere. That's where Cloud Enery comes in. And we need something to list these images. That's where we could use Cloud Enery. We use Airtable for these examples.
Okay.
So all these modules here basically are these plugins of Composer. So if I search for OpenAI, I do have my ChatGPT. I should not need that here today. I'm going to use Whisper. That's the speech-to-text component. So I'm going to use this one. I will definitely need Cloud Enery. And for DALL-E, DALL-E is one which has a very simple REST-based API. So that's where we don't have it off the shelf, at least right now. We will actually have it next week to make things even simpler for our users. But we do have this tool, the API Explorer. So I'm going to show you how this one works. If I go to the OpenAI reference documentation, this is how you create an image using DALL-E, DALL-E 3 at the moment here. So it's a simple post that has an API key in the header and a couple of properties in the body of that post request. So let's say I'm not a developer. I don't understand what that means. The only thing I need to do is to get the curl sentence and copy that. That's all I need. I'm going to go into the API Explorer and in here, paste this curl. The only thing I will do is I need to add my credential key in here, else this is not going to like it, and hit enter. I believe there's one parameter I need to modify maybe, but what's behind the scenes here is our API Explorer, which is an AI-based engine. There's one parameter wrong here because the documentation is not really up to date. And this is analyzing that curl request, building the host, the endpoint, all the parameters of his header parameters or body parameters. And it is trying to see, okay, that's what the API from DALL-E is replying. I don't know if this is JSON or XML. I don't need to know. This is towards non-developers.
Right.
So this revised prompt, that's the way this was interpreted as a cute baby sea otter. That was my default prompt. I'm going to keep that and say, this is my DALL-E create image component. And I will have this here in the scene. So let's try to, for now this is empty because I need to send a request to actually get the result. We did say we want a prompt, so I'm going to add a text input. So we could either type our prompt using a virtual keyboard, or because we have speech to text, I'm actually just going to use Whisper to dictate my prompt.
Okay.
So I will add a button here. My button will do two things. And that's how we use these plugins without writing the code, without having to do the API calls. On Whisper, when I press the button, I want to start the recording. And I'm adding a second one. When I release the button, I will stop the recording. So push to talk kind of scenario. Okay. So Whisper, stop recording, and transcribe. These are the actions. From Whisper, When this is processed by the API, we get a trigger, the transcription has been received. I can use that value and I will just feed my text input in case they don't like my accent, I can fix it. You see, I've done that before and I know sometimes OpenAI doesn't like French. So we have our first step here. The next step is to actually create the image. So again, we're going to use a button to call the second step DALL-E. We have a credential key, we have a model, we have the size. I don't want a cute baby sea otter this time. That's not what I want. I want to use as a prompt the content of my text input.
Right.
And I'm going fast here because I know you can replay that and we have a lot of webinars and videos explaining how this works. This is called a binding to do some kind of data flow, if you will.
Okay.
So we get that image. That image is going to be created and it will be displayed here. We have the prompt, which is empty at the moment, and the image is going to be somewhere here. Our last step, I'm using buttons here, but we could obviously automate that and add some indicators, graphics. That's why I'm the dev and not the graphic designer. upload to Cloudinary. That's the step which matters to us here. When we get that image locally on the device, like the response from DALL-E, I want to call the Cloudinary image uploader, this upload image action, which we saw earlier, and the file path, I'm actually going to grab it from the image asset I have on my scene. That's it. The last thing for the video, for the demo, to explain exactly what's going on, I will add a second text input here in which I will use the Cloudinary trigger. The image has been uploaded just to make sure it worked. And we're going to fill in that text, set text, with the result coming from our trigger, image uploaded. That's actually the URL that you guys are giving us back.
Okay.
So then I can use this URL to post on Facebook, to post to Airtable, to whatever I want. Before I hit play, you see these fields are empty. So this is not going to work. I need to go to my Cloudinary account and copy these values from my account. That's what you need to do with your Cloudinary account to make sure that it goes to your cloud and not to mine. So this is what I loved about Cloudinary. It's super simple. You have three copy buttons. And the last one is, no, that's not the one.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah. All right. And I need to do the same thing for Whisper. Open AI key. And I hope I didn't forget anything. So it's demo mode.
Let's see.
Imagine a joint logo between IntuiFace and Cloudinary. Sounds good.
It's pretty good. It knew the words. I like that.
Great image. That's where you want to show something like it's a spinning wheel, that because OpenAI is not the fastest one to reply with an image. But here is the process. Here is the logo.
Incredible.
Why not? Incredible. And then I can just upload this to Cloudinary. I get the link. And if I open that in the browser, now we have a public image, which is our new merge logo.
Incredible.
There you go. That was, I think I was in the 5 minutes, more or less.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So walk me through how Airtable is used in this process. Or maybe I misunderstood.
Yes. That's because I didn't go through that part yet.
Okay.
But it's a good point. So let's assume I want now to upload this image into this particular table.
Okay.
Because I want this list to be displayed maybe on a second screen, maybe on another scene in our experience. So I need two things. I need one, to be able to display this list of images. Two, to be able to post a new record here with the link Cloudinary gave me back.
Okay.
And that's where Cloudinary and Airtable for us were good tools to work with because of the quality of the documentation. So if I want to display this list of pictures, I can go into Help, API documentation. I have my list, my table here, and I want to list the records. So if I had to write some code, I would need to make that request. That's the kind of response I would get. And I would need to parse it and process it and pick the field I want and write some JavaScript to handle that. But we have the API Explorer. So all I need to do here is actually to copy this curl request.
Okay.
Go back into Composer and use again the API Explorer. So let's bring it in. I'm going to copy my request. Again, I do need my Airtable API key. I do have it on my second screen here. Send. If you remember that big piece of JSON that we were getting, this is what an interface user will see. And okay. Sorry for the test pictures.
Okay.
I'm going to just remove the max records because I want more than 3 records. And I can say among these big JSON, I'm only interested into the main photo URL. That's all I care about.
Okay.
So I can select that and say here, this is my uploaded photos from Airtable. Good. Now I can display that list. That's a previous logo, joint logo I tried to make earlier.
Uh-huh.
And so that's the list to which we want to add our new picture. I'm going to put this a little bit smaller here. There we go. Let me just fix this one. I went a bit fast here. Photo URL. We have our images.
Wonderful.
So that's to display the list of pictures we have uploaded to Airtable.
Yep.
The step we are missing is to send the Cloudinary URL to Airtable. So going back to our documentation here, we don't want to list the records. We want to create the records. And we want to create a single record. That's what the curl looks like. Again, if you had to do that in JavaScript, a good developer can do it in a few minutes, probably. We just copy and paste this in the API Explorer again and go with the same process. Do you want me to go through that or does that explain the idea and the process?
This is great.
Okay. So let's go again in the API Explorer. We're going to... Here, I still need my credential key. So API token is here. Now this one here, I believe, this is the one that can be messed up a little bit because there's a Boolean and we only send strings. So there is one limitation with the API Explorer.
Okay.
And I need to remove that. So let me just, that's where sometimes you do need to know what the curl request is. A little bit, and to let's update it before using it in API Explorer. Let me go back to here. That's our request.
Okay.
I will just remove this one field here. So this one doesn't bother us. Go back in here. Now it misses the credential key, which I will add here.
Okay.
And what am I missing? Photo for the URL. Should be good. Maybe I did not give the right permission on my base for that token. That's probably what happened because usually I do read-only demos. And now with the new tokens of Airtable, they have strict permissions. So I guess that's what's going on. But you get the idea. You would have the same kind of method. You've just passed the URL coming back from Cloudinary here as the parameter, as this field. And that's it. Then it will add the image to the Airtable base, and then you can refresh what is being displayed on the wall, and you can keep adding this media with or without the validation step, depending if you want it or not. With the images generated by AI, there was no need for validation because OpenAI already generates
appropriate images.
Images for selfies and photo booth, definitely we would put some moderation steps.
I can see where when you're talking about the project where you're talking about, like, we want to show images for like a neighborhood wall for an apartment building or something like that, then it makes sense why you'd want to see a collage or a gallery, like what you're able to show with this. And the fact that then they go to his repository, which basically that's what Airtable's acting as, and then you're able to keep displaying those dynamically through Intuiface. This is slick. But the nice thing that I like about this is that you've taken all this work that you've done from developing code, working with various APIs, such as Cloudinaries, but you've made this super easy for your users to do. They don't have to necessarily know a lot about any of the underlying elements that are here, other than maybe API keys, API secrets. It's all done through just simple actions and buttons. So this is really cool because of that.
Yes. We've tried to keep everything, whether it's an image asset, a text input, something visual on the scene, or a plugin like these interface assets, relying on the same three concepts: properties, triggers, and actions. So even when you add a new plugin, we have this X-ray panel, which shows you the list of all these PTAs, these properties, triggers, and actions. Mm-hmm. So it's super easy to see what's available in read-write or in read-only, what are the actions I can call, and what result I'm getting back. Because when you write some code, when you write a method in C# or in JavaScript, you have a return value, or you can have a return value. When you call an action here, you don't really have a return value. That's why we need the triggers, which would be events in common coding languages.
Yeah, I mean, I love looking at this composer because every programmer knows these concepts, like an on-click event listener and a button and what happens behind the scenes. But a regular user, or maybe someone who shows up to a kiosk or museum, or even somebody who is building their own using the plugins and using this composer, they might know what a button does. We all know when you click on a button, something happens, but you don't need to understand what happens behind the scenes because it's all just in Composer laid out this graphical user interface way that is really inclusive of every type of technical level. But it's cool if you do know what happens conceptually behind the scenes, because I think then you can dig in the way that we've watched you demo, how you can dig in and remove certain parameters or anything, really customize it more. But it seems like, would you say, Seb, that your users of this composer are mostly not technical, or is it really a mix?
99% are non-technical. Wow. I would say. And I like to see Compose, and I'm obviously biased because I've been using the tool since we created it ourselves about 10 years ago. 2012 was the year we released the version 1 of Composer. I like to see it as Excel or Photoshop. And I'm completely making up these numbers, but 80% of the users of Excel and Photoshop use less than 10% of the features.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah, I agree.
Same thing with interface. We have a lot of users that will not even use interface assets. They will just go in a folder, grab a bunch of pictures, lay them out on the scene, hit play. They can build a couple of scenes with a couple of buttons to navigate between these scenes, and put that on a kiosk, and that's in the new museum, which is way better than a looping video because people can decide what content they want to consume. And that's probably most of our customers, and most of our projects might be small to medium museums with a couple of screens, maybe a couple dozen screens, like the MoPop Museum in Seattle, the Museum of Pop Culture. Mm-hmm. We have 50 plus screens running interface, and I had no idea they were customers until I visited the museum myself, and I kind of recognized the navigation between the objects, and that looks familiar, and I had no idea. And now I know the guy who did that. He doesn't know how to write a line of code.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, I think the cool thing that you've done as well is like the fact that you are pushing things to Cloudinary, so that basically Intuiface and Cloudinary are being able to work together on this side of things. Because it is in Cloudinary, if someone said, I want to use that same image on my website or my mobile app or something that's going to be like that, it's there and it already has a URL for it. So it's easy enough for them to then weave it into a content management system or to deliver that to a developer that's managing the web presence. So it's all right there in the UI library showing.
You're right. It is. And honestly, right now we've been using Airtable as this proxy to list the media files, probably because I didn't even look at the other APIs you had, because I'm guessing I can query my media library and see, you know, this merge logo, which we just uploaded together. It's here. So that's can probably list it that. And get the list and use just Cloudinary without Airtable in here, most likely.
Yes. But
definitely the images here. And that's where there are many more things we could probably do, like all the advanced editing you offer, all these AI-based features that you have, which I don't even know about, to be honest.
Exactly. And I think why it's still cool that you did show the Airtable side of things is because Airtable's a big factor when it comes to a lot of the ways that developers are working. So it is a show. That's a realistic scenario where you're trying to use something where you already probably highly invested into it, like Airtable, but now you're trying to find ways to work with the imagery. And you're like, how do I make this all connect? So it makes total sense why you showed what you showed. But yes, of course, there's ways to, if you want one vendor, you could just use Cloudinary for some of this only too. But that's not for this episode. Your example is excellent. This is good. And I think it goes back to the point of like, you have a single source of truth for now your images and videos is cloud-based. So that way, if I say I want to use it for my kiosk and my signage, but I want to use it for other purposes, you have it and it's all right there. So this is wonderful.
Yes. And it's really useful for us or for our customers when they have a multi-device setup, like an entrance little tablet and a large, super large video wall, 4K, super high resolution on the back end running during the show, during the event. Or when we have this public device versus private device, we need to make this connection without being able to do anything on the phone, because on the phone, they don't have an interface app running. So that's another thing also, which is with our latest player technology, interface player, software player, we can build interface experiences using the same composer tool and run them either in the new on the player installed locally on the device or on the web. And that's new. Oh. We released that in last September, and that opens a whole new world of possibilities, because now I can build an experience in Composer, publish it on the web, send that URL, put it in a QR code, and have somebody with an iPhone take a picture and upload that picture to Cloudinary. Scenarios are just starting to explode with that possibility. And to kind of loop the circle here, the project you mentioned, the Dubai COP28, was not built by us. It was built by Tosolini Productions, who's one of our customers, creative experts, based in Seattle. And they are the ones who've been pushing the edges of interface for years, probably one of our first customers. And they are experimenting with VR, AR, AI, all these two letters acronyms, and trying to get the videos, photos from an iPhone, using interface on the iPhone, and do things with that. Like right now, Paolo, the guy you have the picture on your screen, he's building a project for Microsoft again for trade shows, like wayfinding on a trade show, because Microsoft booth are almost a whole size. And so they need wayfinding to know which partner is where on the booth. And he's just building that on a phone using interface as well. And thinking about, okay, we can take a selfie and send that to the social media team of Microsoft so we can show it on the wall. Brainstorming about these new scenarios where the mobile and the larger in-venue screens work together even more than before.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's exciting. Yeah, it seems like there's a lot being developed for the future, and this is really just the beginning. So thank you so much for coming on to Dev Jam, Seb, and sharing all that you shared with us. I hope that people really are inspired by a lot of the demos that you did. I know I definitely was.
Thank you again for having me today. Again, I know this is Dev Jam. I know Interface is a no-code platform. I hope you can see that plugins can be developed, especially with this new player next-gen platform we have on the web with TypeScript interface assets. And so if you have any questions about the platform, definitely you can reach out to me. I believe you're probably going to show about that. reach out to us. We have a free version on the website, all the good things. We have community where most of our users are sharing what they build with Intuface. So that's the website. We do have a free trial for a month. And you can also share my direct email address for sure, no problem.
Absolutely. And I think that's what's wonderful about this is that you're showing that this no-code platform you have is very flexible to extend. Like you can basically say, like, I need to maybe hook up to this or that. And the fact that you're able to show how you're able to work with, you know, pretty API-centric things, Quaternary, Airtable, DALL-E, it's where if you want it to be able to be used by your no-code users, just go ahead and be able to get it to work with your system. And this is pretty incredible how you've been make it that easy for them to create digital content. So Seb, great work.
It's taken a few years, but
yeah, no, I totally agree too, because like the way I think of it, Seb, is you were saying, oh, this is for developers, but really developers these days are having to do what you've done, which is I think of you as a connector. You know, imagine a puzzle, but instead of only one way that the puzzle goes together, these pieces can connect in all different ways. And it's up to the user or the developer or whoever to put these pieces together the ways that they want. And they can use only, you know, 1% of the capabilities that Intuiface offers or the Cloudinary offers or Excel or everything that we were talking about. I mean, I think even as humans, we use only a small percent of our brains. But really we're putting together things in different unique ways, and you are the enabler because you as the developer and the people listening or watching Dev Jams as a developer are thinking like, how do I connect these softwares together so that people can use them easier, and even people being non-technical people. So there's so much for very technical people to listen to this type of conversation and glean from it for sure.
That's actually the word I was going to use, enabler. That's yes. One we use a lot because we want to enable our users to use what they don't know how to use without having to acquire these skills that they might miss, or they don't have the resources, they don't have the time to acquire. Another thing which might be interesting, and that's happening right now, is some of these plugins, these interface assets, like the one with Whisper that I used in the demo. Yeah. I'm ashamed, but I didn't write the code for that. GPT did, because we have an Intuiface coding assistant as our own GPT, which is released now publicly on the store on the, I don't know how they call it on GPT, but if you search Intuiface in ChatGPT Plus, you can find our coding assistant, still a tech preview because it's still AI, it's not perfect. But I was able to have 80% of that code written by GPT and just, you know, fix the little last thing. So we also save time now, even for the developing part of the plugins, thanks to AI. And that's definitely going a big change in 24.
Incredible. Incredible. And I have a hunch, Seth, this is probably not the last episode that you'll be on of us. I have a hunch that there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to be able to show how developers can be able to develop plugins, extensions, be able to use your platform, our platform, and other ways to be able to make it easy for all users to be able to do great things with digital content. So, Seth, keep it up. This is great stuff.
I agree. And I think we've used 10% of Intuiface to use less than 1% of Cloudinary. So there's room for improvement.
Always, always. Well, thank you again for coming. I appreciate it. Absolutely. So Jen, what's your big takeaway here? What's the thing that stood out to you most from what Seb was able to show us and talk to us about today?
Well, a big takeaway for me is that Seb and what he's built with Intuiface really uses Cloudinary in a small way. However, he's been able to scale that and continue with what they made 8 years ago now. And I think there's sort of like when I first was using Cloudinary, I was really just using Cloudinary to extract the URL as well. And when I learned all the Cloudinary was capable of, I was almost a little embarrassed, like, oh man, I missed the point altogether, but that's not true. You really just need to use given softwares in the ways that they work for you. You just need to get what you're trying to do to work, and that's it. You don't need to use 100% of what every technology offers. And I think that's sort of a shift in mindset, at least for me. And to hear Seb is using this at this huge company that's doing amazing things, and it's okay that he's not using optimizations or other things that we know exist at Cloudinary. And I think that's a cool thing to realize. And anyone listening, like if you want to use Cloudinary in a really simple way, that's awesome. Do it. Go for it. And you can probably even use it for free too, because Cloudinary does offer free tiers as well when you're not using it in so many ways.
Yeah. So I mean, it's not to, you want to use the tool for what you're trying to intend it to be used for. And if it is for a simple task, then use it simply. And if it needs to be advanced and complex, then use it more complexly. And it's so, I think that's exactly what I'm seeing here is that there's lots of different varying levels as we show on this program of how to work with images and videos. And this was meant to accomplish a specific goal that was set out for Intuit Face's customer base. So this is great. And I love the fact that it is simple because a lot of the factors of how to do this with your own platforms or with your own types of integration work, Seb was able to demonstrate that very, very clearly in this episode. So that's wonderful too. And of course, if you are interested in taking a look at all of this, as we mentioned, intuitface.com is where you can check out all of the great work that Seb and the team are doing over there. And also one thing that I'm going to be doing personally is every time I walk into a museum and see a kiosk, I'm going to be like, I wonder if Intuit Face was behind that now. And also notice that the repository that they had for the image uploader that he walked us through, that's going to be at his own GitHub. So that's going to be github.com/intuitface/cloudinary for a very simple URL. And of course, we'll have all of the links listed in comments and show notes on all the things that we referenced today, such as the blog post that guided us to Seb, and also the help article on how to work with the uploaders that they've gone ahead and built too. Lastly, before we dive away from this, remember, we have all of the Dev Jams episodes everywhere that you typically listen to podcasts or watch podcasts. That includes Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. It also includes YouTube. It also includes our own training academy, the Cloudinary Academy. So wherever you want to check out this content, we're probably there. But of course, the main repository for all of this is cloudinary.com/podcasts. So you can hear from guests like Seb and many other amazing developers that are pushing the boundaries of what images and videos can do. And also remember, you can continue those conversations with any of those amazing guests, as well as the millions of developers that are using Cloudinary at community.cloudinary.com. Now, with that said, any final thoughts, Jen, before we let our guests go on with their days?
Final thoughts would be, it just seems like AI is making our lives easier. You know, for everything from using ChatGPT to help Seb write some code to even moderation. You know, he was mentioning that they have a manual moderation. And I was just thinking, oh, forever, Cloudinary has offered AI moderation and they can just send that out and immediately get a moderated response and just code in any parameters they want and use multiple plugins we have. And I was just thinking, you know, it's 2024 now. When we were thinking like, wow, the Wii was so futuristic. Now we're here in 2024 and we're talking about these futuristic things. And I'm just excited for even 5-10 years from now, the things that are going to be coming out. So really cool conversation with Seb. I hope we see him again too in the future. And really great episode.
I agree. So on behalf of all of Cloudinary, me and Jen, thank you for being part of this episode. And also, be sure to check us out again when we're back, because we'll bring forward another amazing developer who is pushing the boundaries of what's possible with images and videos inside of your own projects. So thank you, take care, and we'll see you at the next one.